if you are, just have a love feast for a minute while I get set up. Thank yous, whatever, but I realized when I got to the room, I wanted to give honor to Sister Wendell and Sister Haney for the Bailey. But what I didn't say that was on my little list, that means nothing when you're 66. My list don't mean anything anymore. I can't even read my list anymore at the time. But anyway, it was on my list to say to you, Christian Life Center ladies, I love you. I really love you. Sister Joy Haney invited me to do Ladies Advance Up. Y'all used to go up in the mountains. I just remember we went somewhere in the mountains. We had church. People got baptized and swimming pool and all kinds of stuff was going on. But anyway, long time ago, 2000, I believe, 16 years ago was the first time I came. And I told Sister Joy Haney as we were up there in the mountains, I said, you know what? These women are so hungry. I agree, Sister Wendell, for God. I think I could get up and read out of the yellow pages. And they'd say, oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, they'd get something out of it. You know, anyway, but your hunger and your thirst, and which comes from your incredible leadership for generations. And I also want to say about Sister Kim, I was kind to hurry last night. She's younger than me. I'm old enough to be her mama. But I look up to her in a lot of ways. You are very blessed to have Kim Haney as your leader, and I want you to give her a hand. That would be like her to be hiding among the stuff when we're giving her a hand, whatever. But I love Kim Haney. She is like a spiritual daughter to me. Sister Kim asked me for this particular session. I don't know if we talked on the phone or email, but anyway, the question was, Sister Walker, I want you to think back on the greatest and darkest trial of your life and tell us what you learned in that trial that could be a help to the women. And immediately when I read it, I knew what the Lord wanted me to share with you. I won't talk to you about the trial, but I want to tell you what I learned in the middle of the trial, and that is victory over depression. Sister Freeman, and I'm sure if she was out here a lot, you heard her say this, saw when the Lord sent them back from Africa to America, a very dark cloud hovering over the American church. And she asked the Lord what it was. He said, it's a spirit of oppression. Now, I believe in that wind. It's blown a lot of that away. But I travel a lot. I work with a lot of women. And I know the devil ain't changed his tactics. And one of his biggest tools to use against sensitive women is the spirit of oppression. So we're going to talk about it today. I'm just going to give you some tools. I'm going to give you some answers God gave me in a season of my life. And we are going to go out of this place today armed and dangerous, devil. Not just deliverance for our own oppression, But we are being sent into the harvest, Sister Bobby Wendell. And one of the things the enemy is beating the world up with it today is that spirit of oppression. And I'm just going to give you a few tools the Lord gave me. And we're going to go out and help free the captives and free the oppressed. In Jesus' name, before I even start, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Because he came to give us victory over spirits of oppression, depression, and fear. In the name of Jesus, let's thank him for the blood that he shed, that we can have victory over every spirit. God, we come before I even share, saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the name. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the spirit. Thank you that we are more than conquerors because you loved us. Hallelujah. Now let's give him a standing ovation because he's here. I feel him walking among us. The angels are here. Let's clap for him like he deserves to be clapped for. Hallelujah. We love you. We honor you. You are our Savior. You have saved us, oh God, from so much, and we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. My qualifications to talk to you on this subject are as follows. I thought I was going to list all my degrees. I don't have one. For 3 years, I mentored young lady preachers at Urshan College. They asked me one day to go UGST and talk to the students there. I knew the population was small for UGST. A lot of them are online students. So I was expecting, 10, 15 students in there. Nobody told me all those professors with their degrees were coming. I walked in there, and there was Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and a whole bunch of other Dr. So-and-so. I'm sitting there. I went to ABI, and I've got a diploma. It's not an accredited school from ABI. I studied the Word for 3 years. So I looked around that room, and I said, dear God, there are more degrees in this room than there are on a thermometer. I don't have one. But I had a testimony of victory, so I just gave that to all the doctors. Hallelujah, and it seemed to work. But my qualifications have nothing to do with the degree. Now, I'm not against them. I wish I had one. My driver, Sister Kelly Fisher, has been so kind to me. She has a master's in counseling, and wow, I would love to have that. But I do have a few qualifications. Number one, by nature, I'm a melancholy. If by nature you're a melancholy, right there, you got a lot to say on the subject. Melancholy, see glasses not as half full, but as half empty. Number two, by heredity, I'm named after Claude the coal miner. Claude battled with depression. My mother battled with depression. And then we moved to the mansion when I was 4 years old. And my best friends were kids that had been physically abused, mentally abused, abused in every way. And they loved me, and I'm a caring person. And so as a very young child, they would open up and tell me stories I shouldn't have heard. And I assimilated all their pain. So, all that going on, I have several T-shirts in my closet that tell you I'm qualified to talk on the subject. Not proud of that. I just giving you background. Got a call from Dan Rigdon, who at that time was the National International Youth President, worked at headquarters. We'd gone to ABI together. Talking about the first National Youth Congress. I'm really old. It was back in 1979. I had just got out of the hospital, and Dan didn't know anything about what was going on in my life. I got out of the hospital actually that day, sent me home, said, we don't know what's wrong with you. We can't help you. And he said, Claudia, I want you and Mark to talk at the National Youth Congress. I said, okay. He said, I want Mark to talk about building a prayer life to the young people. I also want him to talk about the carpenter shop, the youth center you opened in Odessa, Texas, for Brother Pugh, to help other youth pastors learn how to do that. And he said, I'd like for you to teach, Claudia. Now, this is the back in the day when not a lot of women said anything anywhere, especially on a national scale. I'm like, me? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, I want you to deal with something I think a lot of teenagers deal with, but nobody wants to talk about it. I said, okay. He said, I'd like for you to talk about dealing with depression. And as soon as I heard that word, I went, he said, I'm bawling. He said, Claudia, what's wrong? I said, Danny, I am so depressed. He said, sorry. I missed it, man. Forget it. Honey, I'll call somebody else. Don't worry about it. He's backing up like, and the Holy Ghost, something inside of me made me say, when's your conference? He said, August. It was January. I said, put my name down. The because by August, God will have either given me some answers how to deal with what I'm going through right now, or I'll be on Paddock Road, and that's where they locked up. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't being funny. Because for the first time in my life, I not only had to battle with, you know, seeing the glass more full than empty type thing, just normal kind of stuff with my nature, but I was dealing with a demonic spirit that had come on the after of my miracle son being born, whom doctors begged me to abort. I should never have had a child. My womb is misshapen, all kinds of stuff with that miracle that I may have told you about before. But as soon as this miracle child was born, a demonic spirit from hell came after me. And for 3 months, I was in the darkest, lowest, horrible place of my life. I knew nothing about spiritual warfare. My deal with the devil then was, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You go make sinners sin and just don't bother me and I won't bother you. I knew nothing about dealing with him. I didn't know any of the stuff I teach now, like I taught here last year of weapons of warfare. I knew nothing. I was just knew that I was in a dark place, and I had never been there before. Never in my life. And I was 28 years old. Brother Reeves called, a prophet of God, powerful man of God, one of Brother Tom Barnes' best friends. That shows you right there the kind of man he was, walking in realms of the Spirit, unbelievable. He had been my husband's mentor and pastor. He called and he said, I understand, I'm in a wheelchair sitting at the dining room table. He said, I understand from your in-laws that you're very, very sick, Claudette. The doctor's not helping. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, well, honey, I have called. He had this deep, mellifluous voice. I have called to tell you something. I've been in prayer. Yes, sir? The fact that you're in a wheelchair and the doctors cannot figure out all that's going on in your body is not your biggest problem, honey. I'm in a wheelchair. I got a newborn. I'm on crutches. And this ain't my biggest problem. No. Claudette, there are demons. And I went, ah! And I threw the phone. And Marvin said, you get back on the phone. That's a prophet of God. And I'm like, ah! And all of a sudden I saw green slimy things. I mean, I didn't really see it, but I imagined green slimy things crawling up the wall and yellow polka dotted things in my baby's bassinet. And oh, I've got a great imagination. I'm like, oh, God, that's all I need, demons in my apartment. He said, you're afraid, aren't you? I said, yeah! I'm going to pray. I have to go away. He prayed, and instantly the demonic thing was taken care of because he had power with God. He knew things that he later taught me, and I thank God for that. And instantly, a spiritual depression and oppression demonic can be taken care of by somebody who knows what to do with it. So I could sit down now if it was all over. But the deal is with depression, it's not always just the demonic stuff you've got to get rid of. Because you've been depressed over about a week. If you've been battling with the spirit very long, you've got a bunch of junk going on in your head. You have got strongholds in your mind. You've got strongholds in your spirit. And you've got to learn how to deal with it. Many of you, I hope most of you, have never dealt with a horrible bout of depression. But please listen up. And you're going to run into somebody in the harvest field that you're going to have to help. And maybe another saint or a new convert in the pew that you could help. So even though this doesn't apply to everybody, I'm praying that you will get some tools to help somebody who is or has battled a spirit of depression. First of all, let me just tell you about Satan's game plan. It includes 6 D's. This is what Satan wants to happen. First of all, he watches you, and when a disappointment happens in your life, he's hovering in close. Number one, disappointment. Number two, disillusionment. He wants you to become disillusioned about the promises of God. Number three, discouragement. It's simple as simple discouragement. After discouragement, if it goes far enough, number four, he wants you to feel dejected. Number five is when the depression and that spirit comes in. And number six, what he wants, his game plan, is for you to be spiritually defeated. Now, just so those of you who have dealt with depression or have know someone who is, I want to quickly just go through 4 characters in the Word of God. Because the first thing, if you're a praying woman and a Holy Ghost-filled woman and you're battling depression, you feel, is guilt. Am I failing God? I have the Holy Ghost. I talk in tongues. Am I unspiritual? So quickly, I'm just going to read a few scriptures and let you know that some spiritual giants in the Word of God battle the same thing that you have battled. And the first one is David, Psalm 22, 1 and 2. We talk about him being a man of faith and a man of power, and he was. but he also battled depression. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime and you hear me not in the night season. David was depressed. Talk about Jacob. These are all heroes. Jacob in Genesis 37, verse 33 and 35. And Jacob knew it when they brought him the coat, Joseph's coat. And he said, it's my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn into pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and he mourned for his son many days. His sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, I'm going to go down to my grave mourning for my son. Jacob was depressed. Naomi got back to Bethlehem, Ruth 1, 20 and 21. And the people in Bethlehem said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara or Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? He's depressed. Let's look at Elijah, 1 Kings 19, verses 4 and 10. Elijah goes a day's journey into the wilderness. He comes, sits under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. It's enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. Go to verse 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant and thrown down the altars and slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left. I'm the only one. Elijah. Sister Walker, let's just all go home and get depressed. I mean, we're talking David here and Jacob and Naomi and Elijah. Whew, I'm in good company, Sister Saul. So the point is that some powerful people in the Word of God went through some seasons in their life when they too were battling against depression. So if they had to time, then you may have sometime in your life battled this, or you may in the future. If you have not, listen up. It may come. I know one lady who got on her spiritual high horse and said, I'm sorry, but these ladies in my church that battle low moods and they battle depression, they just need to trust God. Vomit. Because God can't stand spiritual pride. And she was so sorry she had that rotten attitude toward people who were dealing with some things that she had never particularly had to deal with, because she told me later she was shut up for a year in her house, bound by a demonic spirit of depression. So be careful. Don't look down your spiritual nose at somebody who struggled with it if you never have. Now, good news. Hallelujah. Let's get to the good news. I just gave you the bad news. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 3. This is the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus read it, the word of the Lord. Here's why Jesus came. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. It's one of the reasons Jesus came. It's so you could change clothes. You could take off your old melancholy robe. And you could put on a garment of praise. And you could fight against every demon of hell that tries to take advantage of whatever situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to read Isaiah 54. The first lifeline I got when I first began to battle, I had an attack by that demonic spirit, was Brother Reeves' call. And he taught me on the phone that day the seven powerful weapons, which I taught about here last year at Christian Life College. You can watch it on YouTube if you feel like you need those seven weapons. But when this attack first came, and the Lord allowed, I tell you, God will allow Satan at you sometimes and choking around your little neck. You know why? Because sometimes we forget, as apostolics, I was born underneath the pew, third generation Pentecostal, what it's like for the devil to be in your face, Sister Bailey. And sometimes the Lord told me, I allow him at you and I do not deliver immediately, so you will get that perfect and pure hatred again for the ways of evil, and you'll smell his hot breath, and then I give you power to rise up and overcome him, so you will go out and deliver the captives. Because when we've sat on the pew so long, we feel like sometimes what it is like to be bound and to be oppressed. And the Lord allowed this season in my life so I would come up with a pure and perfect hatred for that spirit and would rise to fight against it. But before deliverance came, the Lord gave me one lifeline. I'd only been for maybe 6 weeks in this place of utter darkness. I had a newborn baby. We're driving to church. And I didn't even tell my husband. But in my mind, I said to God, Lord, if this is going to be life from now on, because it's already been 6 weeks, I don't want to live here on this edge of, and I'm trying to describe to him how bad it was. I said this edge of, I started to say fear, but fear didn't equate it. I said terror, because not only had the spirit of oppression come, Sister Wendell, but a spirit of, not just fear, terror. I was terrified. Terror. Not a word we use. I didn't say a word to Mark. Went to church. A young man got up and taught a Bible study. I don't remember a word he said. I don't know what he said at the end. He said, I don't know why, but the Lord just told me to read Isaiah 54. And he read it. To verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, and you shall not fear, and from, what do you think? Terror. The word I just said to God in my mind on the way to church, it shall not come near thee. And that was my lifeline. I'm like, I don't know where I am, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to get some tools, and I'm going to share the tools once I get them with my sisters and my brothers. Thank the Lord for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, let me just tell you, because I have dealt with a lot of people, and that was a long time ago. I was young, and now I am old. Let me tell you some danger points, okay? A big yellow caution light, brrr, or like you're in the mountains. I was up in the Rockies last year preaching Colorado, and I went up and drove all by myself up on this road that you look down, tried to hug that side, you know. This is dangerous curves ahead type thing. Dangerous curves ahead. Here are places where I have seen women greatly susceptible to becoming depressed and to also being vulnerable to that spirit of oppression. Just warning times. Number one, when you have severe physical problems, be careful. I mentioned the serotonin level. I did not know this, but the serotonin level was so completely depleted in my brain after the stroke that you could do all the stuff. I could pray 5 and 6 hours at a time. Sometimes I would, just to see if maybe I wasn't praying enough. I would just give myself to prayer and intercession and worship and playing on the piano and doing whatever and get up and still feel that low, heavy, and not demonic, but it was in my physical body. Okay? So you need to understand there are certain things. There's like the hormonal thing of after having a baby. Some people deal with the baby blues type thing, which is a real deal. Some people deal with things in menopause. I saw a magnet on a refrigerator which said, I am out of estrogen and I have a gun. That's a scary. You don't want that woman anywhere near you. Be careful. Just be careful. Okay? I'm just telling you when to be careful. Be aware. Number two. Thank you, Sister Wendell. When you're disobedient to God, I'm sorry. When you're disobedient to God, if you are submitted to God, you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you are not submitted to God, you can rebuke him all day and he has a legal right to choke the life out of you. Because the first thing in spiritual warfare is submission to God, to your pastor, to your husband, to everybody who's over you. And if you are in rebellion with that little bit of, since we were there today, that little bit of makeup, I'm sorry, but it's rebellion because you know that your pastor and his wife wife teach and preach against it. I've been here teach and preach against it. You're walking on a very dangerous path of disobedience, and you will have no power in spiritual warfare until you submit to God, submit to your husband, submit. Every word of this book, all 66 of them. Be careful. If I'm not submitted to God, it's like I'm putting a bullseye right here on my chest and saying, devil, shoot me. Taking your own protection away. Number three, be careful if you will not forgive. If you will not forgive, you will not be forgiven, and you will also battle against depression. Number four, if you live in the past or if you live in the future, if you are always saying, if only, if only I'd done whatever, if only they'd done whatever, if only God had done whatever, you're living in the past. If you're looking ahead going, what if this happens and that happens and the other happens, and we melancholies have to deal with that what-if syndrome. What if? Be careful. If you're always going, if only, what if, you're missing today. You're missing the day that God has given you. Be careful about that. Number four, be careful. That was number four. Number five, be careful at great change points in your life. Even good things like having a baby sometimes. Like changing churches. You may be going from one church to another great church, but it's just a difficult place. Changing of jobs, death in the family, divorce, emptiness, all these change points of life are times and seasons where women can tend to get into depression, and the spirit can take advantage of you. So be careful. Number six, after a great victory, Elijah, that was after he had a great victory at Carmel. Sometimes I deal with this because of my one adrenal gland. I only have one adrenal gland. It's 66 and a few weeks years old, and it's exhausted. It's just plumb worn out. So last night, I wanted to go visit with the ladies upstairs. I really did. But I could tell by my breathing that my heart had gone severely out of rhythm. It was beating so fast I could hardly count the beats, and I went to my sweet sister Kelly's class. Okay. You've got to understand your body, and you've got to know and realize how to deal with it. And even after I felt like I delivered the message and God had done whatever, sometimes after that, in that low whatever of my body being crazy, whatever, I know now because I'm old, I know what to do, and I have to be careful. I have to go into worship. I have to go in the room. I have to enter into worship, whatever. Because you can, after a great victory in your life, hit a real low. Mine is physical because of adrenal insufficiency. But you just have to be very, very careful. Number seven, be careful. If you've got the melancholy temperament, won't go there. Just God bless all of you, and I'll pray for you. Number eight, if you are under extreme stress, I'm not going to take time, and I'm trying to hurry here, but David in the Amplified, it describes a time in his life when the Bible says he was alone, he was tired, he was afraid, he was weary, and he'd been rejected. And the enemy said, now I'll attack him. So let's watch each other. Let's cover each other's backside. If you see a sister and you know she's feeling lonely, you know she's feeling rejected, you know all those things are going on, she's tired, get your shield over her and hold her because she's vulnerable to an attack. She is vulnerable. Don't look at her when she's not worshiping and up there like you are. Say, wonder what her problem, wonder if she's backsliding. Dear God, get your shield over her and say, Lord, help my sister. It may be me tomorrow. If friends had not prayed for me when I was on the battlefield and I was down and out, many times, Lori knows, my people at my church, because of my constant and ongoing afflictions in my body that the Lord has allowed to stay, without them holding their shields over me and protecting me, I would have been gone a long time ago. Not just physically, but spiritually. We need to cover each other. Number nine, when people are in deep grief. Psychological, and if you go to a counselor, they'll tell you this. I didn't come up with it. It's just what they come up with. I believe it. Number one, you're in deep grief. Number one, you're in shock. Say you hear a relative died, whatever. You hear somebody who failed by. You're in shock, number one. Number two, you deny it. This can't be. You're in denial. Number three, you get mad about it. If it's something you love that's been stolen, sometimes anger can come. After the anger, number four, comes depression. Number five, finally, you come out of that and begin to accept whatever's going on in your life. And six, you can go into healing. But I believe the reason that depression, according to psychologists, follows the anger is because depression, the Lord told me, is anger based death. We're mad about something, and we shouldn't be. So you stuff it. You stuff it down. You depress it. Be careful. Okay. Just nine times to be careful. Now, the common denominator, however, of all these nine, and there's more, I'm just hurrying for the sake of time here, one common denominator in every one of those situations. If you give in to the low mood, or if you give in and the demon comes and attacks you. My husband called me. I was just a few months into this horrible black trial. I was visiting relatives out of town. He said, "Sweetheart, I saw you in a vision of the spirit." Good. I'm thinking he's got, whew. And he saw angels coming. And, you know, I was waiting on deliverance. He said, "It was very strange." He said, "I saw you standing in this deep, deep pit of the earth. And your feet were in quicksand." Thanks for nothing, Marvin. Lord have mercy. I got enough going on here. What did it mean? I don't know. Well, then don't come tell me that if you ain't got no interpretation. He said, "You pray, God will show you." So I hung up the phone, and then I'm like, the terrors start to come back. Ah! What's the quicksand? He told me. He asked me what's up. But the quicksand is self-pity. And the Lord told me, self-pity is the quickest killing spiritual cancer in the devil's toolbox. Self-pity. My attitude of thinking, I deserve more, or this is not fair, or I wish I had better, or blah, 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 is a greasy pole on which I slide down into a pit of quicksand, of self-pity, discontent, ungratefulness, misery, and what the devil wants to lead me to is to something that will take my soul, and that is unbelief. Hebrews 3, verses 8 through 12. "Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me." They tempted him by griping and complaining. They wouldn't believe God. They felt sorry for themselves. And why can't we have more manna? And what do we do out here? And we wish we had onions. We wish we had leeks. And we don't like Moses and blah, blah, blah. "And saw the works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved." Everybody say, "I was grieved." God was grieved with that generation and said, "They do always err in their heart, and they've not known my ways. And I swear in my wrath," made God mad, "they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you," something I pray about often, "an evil heart of unbelief." That is the end of Satan's game plan. Number one, he wants you to have self-pity. Be careful. Wah, 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 wah. Like I asked the Lord to install the pride alarm underneath my chair of P-R-I-D-E when I get up. I also ask him to install a self-pity alarm. And I start going, let it start going, wah, 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 wah. So I can crawl out of that pit of self-pity. Because secondly, if I stay in the pit long enough, I'll start to resent my situation. And after resentment, number three, is where the devil comes and plants that seed of unbelief. This is serious stuff. What made me hate, more than anything, the spirit, the tendency, my nature, is this scripture. And I was also a very young woman in my 20s, and God led me to this. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving," number one, "and the march to hell," number one, "and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and it's the second death." I can't imagine any of us in here being part of the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars. Fearful and the unbelieving lead much. When I found that out, I said, "God, I want answers. Show me the way out of this pit." And I went on a long fast. And he gave me a vision. And I'm just simply going to share with you the vision that he gave me. The reason I know it was an answer from God is I taught this in Cincinnati once. My medical doctor heard me teach it. Came to me and said, "I am going to send that to Dr. Dobson." I'm like, "Don't do that. He has all those degrees, fancy, smart people on your show. And he won't do it." And, you know, he said, "No. I know from my medical training and the people I deal with in the hospitals, that 80% of them are dealing with depression. God has given you incredible gifts. I want to send it. I'm going to send it. And they did play it from Dr. Dawson's show. I'm not saying that to brag on me. I'm telling you, God will give you answers when you need answers that are right according to educational things, that are right according to the standards of the world. God gives answers that blow the minds of the simple. I was just a simple girl dealing with demonic things I didn't know what to do with. I was a simple girl who had had some thought patterns that were wrong. And God gave me a vision. It was a staircase. I'm down in the pit of self-pity. Feet are in it. I'm changing, screaming, how do I get out of here? And he showed me a staircase, and there were four steps out. Now, it's not that you take these four steps and you're out forever. There are four steps you've got to take daily. You've got to walk in this truth to have complete deliverance. Four steps. The first step, and I'm going to teach a little of each of these, but just if you're taking notes, the first step up was concerning an attitude of acceptance. Tell me what kind of attitude you have. Have an attitude of acceptance. The second staircase, he told me to think the word of God. The third step was say words of praise. The fourth step was do deeds of love. Okay. Now we're going to go back. The attitude of acceptance. Accept what, Sister Walker? Well, there are certain things that you shouldn't accept. If your house is dirty and you're depressed about it, get up and clean your house. Don't wait on some angel to come and lift your low mood before you clean your house. If your kids are brats and you're depressed about it, correct them. Spank their backsides. Put them on timeout. Take something away from them. You know, stuff you can deal with. Deal with it. I'm talking about accepting things that you can't change. You've prayed about it. You've done everything you can, and it simply won't change. Things like financial trouble, if you're paying your tithes and doing, you know, good diligence with your money. If you're sick and you can't change it, maybe it's the fact that you have a husband, or you don't have one, whichever. Maybe it's the fact that you have no baby, or maybe you have too many babies. Maybe it's the fact that somebody lied on you, the fact that you have big feet, you hate them. I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, it's just, you know, something you can't change. That's what you accept. You just accept it, and you get your cornerstone verse of Romans 8:28. Lord, I thank you that this situation that's driving me up my evermore wall and driving me crazy is going to work together for good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. And I thank you for this trial. I thank you, Lord. I accept it right now. I accept it and I'm waiting on you to work in it and to teach me things. And I quit going, why did this happen to me? And instead I get on the edge of my spiritual seat and say, what? Everybody say, not why, but what? What am I going to learn in this trial? What is it that God is going to show me in His Word that's going to be a lifeline to me and a lifeline to my neighbor and a lifeline to everybody around me? And then instead of the things that you can't change driving you crazy, you're going to learn something wonderful and powerful, and God's going to teach you, and you're going to come out of that thing and you're going to have an attitude of acceptance and peace. Quit fighting against it. Thank you, Lord, for the trial. Got this from precious sister Nona Freeman. How many of you ever read her book, In the Bag? Get her book and read In the Bag. It's so cool. Long story short, essentially the Lord told her to get these little bags when she went to teach a retreat. Not these, but a bag. I got this one in Sweden, I think. But anyway, go get a little bag and tell the women to write down all the things about them in their life that's heavy, that's oppressing on them, that they're needing answers to. Write them down and then put them in the bag and zip it up and leave it. And when the enemy tries to get you to worry or be anxious about that, you simply say, excuse me, but that's in the bag. I've already presented it to the Lord at the throne and God's working on it. The first time I tried this, I've still got the card in there. It was about 18, 19 years ago when I read her book. And I put it in there and I put down 18 things. Now, these weren't, I have a hangnail. You know, these are big things. I have 18 things, and we're in ministry, so not all about us, but, you know, people in the church, whatever. 18 things. And she said, don't open it all the time. So I decided maybe a year is a good time to wait. I waited a year, and I went back, and I opened the bag, and guess how many of the 18 things God had taken care of? Well, I wish. 17 of them. 18 was menopause, and I was still in the middle of it. But he helped me with that, too. On December the 6th, this year, I will have had the Holy Ghost 60 years. God, that just blows my mind that the Holy Ghost has stayed with me that long, Heather. It's just like, whoa, So I celebrate, and when it's 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, instead of going away one day for my spiritual birthday to the motel, I go 2 days. I went 2 days on my 50th. I went on 40th. I went 2 days on my 50th. This is 60. It's a big deal. And God blessed me with some unexpected money from a source I hadn't counted on. And when I got the gift cards, the Lord said, use up for 60th in Mexico early, because on December the 6th, there'll probably be a blizzard, right, Lori, in Michigan. So it's not much fun to go somewhere in a blizzard. So anyway, I celebrated last week. I spent 3 days with the Lord. Celebrating my spiritual birthday. I didn't ask him for anything. I didn't prevail for the people in my church. I didn't prevail for the world. For 3 days, I did what I'm going to do in heaven. I simply worshiped. I worshiped and I sang and I had the best time with him. But before we started, because I still had needs pressing on me, I went to the little beach there and I sat there by the water, the pretty water, and I got out my phone and I thought, it's time to redo this. And I wrote down 21 things. And dated them and put it in here. But we need God. He will have those answers for. And he lifted up. Now when it comes to my mind. Oh, excuse me. Satan, I don't have time to worry about that. That's in the bag. I've already presented that to the Lord on the beach in Petoskey, Michigan, and he's working on that. And I just can't wait to see how he's going to do it. And I'm just so thankful, and I'm accepting everything in this bag until he works on it. Because these are opportunities in here for me to see the power and the glory of God. I've changed my mindset. I have changed how I think by the power of the Holy Ghost. Number two, second step, he told me, is to think the Word. Everybody say, think the Word. If you've been depressed over a day or two, probably a day, you've got some stinking thinking going on. You ain't thinking right. The Lord gave me a visual. I'm a visual learner, so it helps me. We went to Disney World back when we were quizzers. I mean, my husband was a quiz coach in Anaheim, California, and we had saved some money and took our quizzers after the tournament and let them enjoy the joys of Disney. So we went in this one pavilion where we saw some film about America. And when we went in, it was bright, sunny California. But when you came out of the anteroom, Walt was playing some tricks on your brain. And you came into this, what we came in was a sunny, bright place where you could see sunlight, the skylight. He changed everything around. And now all of a sudden, instead of the sun from the skylight coming in, the sun, you could see black. And hear horrible claps of thunder and torrents of rain. And immediately the 40 or 50 people stuck in this place are going, oh no! Because none of us had brought umbrellas because it was bright, sunny, and you could hear the griping going on. We're all going, oh man, spend all this money, it's a monsoon! And after he leaves us all in there, rain, 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 for a little bit, they open the doors and you walk out in the sunny California. It was a trick Walt played on us just to mess with our brains. Satan is the master of playing tricks with your brain and make you think you're just going to be in a storm forever and make you think that the lightning's coming and the thunder's coming when you're probably right on the precipice of your victory when the sun is just about to break out. But if you think it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not on my problems, on thee. Philippians 4:8 says, we ought to think on what's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, praise, virtue. You got to think on these things. God is not going to make you think right. It's your job. You've got to cast down every imagination. Every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, you've got to cast it down. Devil puts a thought in your mind, cast it down. I don't believe that's true. Cast it down. Speak what is true. I think I taught you last year about word replacement therapy. I looked him up early this morning when I got up. These are areas of my life that I deal with things from time to time. So I get my verses ready. You've got to have them ready. So when I was going through this time of battling the spirit of depression, I went to the Word, got me a bunch of answers. So here's my whole list on depression. I share this with people that battle it. First thing I start out is the blue card. Blue card's a lie. Devil's always telling lies. Okay? So I write down the lie. Devil's telling. And I write down the truth. And I get a whole bunch of scriptures to go with it. And I memorized a lot of them. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine and be radiant, for the glory of God is risen and His glory is now shining upon you. Got to have some word. All the days of the desponding afflicted are made anxious thoughts and foreboding. But he who has a glad heart has continual feast regardless of the circumstances. Proverbs 15, I can read it to little 13 or 15, something like that. But anyway, you got to get the word, and you got to get it available. And you've got to get you an accountability partner if you have struggled with this very long at all. And you tell your prayer partner, whoever, that your husband or your best girlfriend or whatever, when I start mouthing things that don't agree with the word of God, would you remind me to go get my word replacement therapy cards and to read what God said about the situation instead of what my stupid old carnal, cloddy, melancholy brain is thinking about the situation? And they'll help you. And I have people in my life that have the veto power. They can say no to me. I miss Sister Joy Haney. Praying for her. I love her so much. I called her. Just a few people left in my life that are older than me. You get as old as me, your mentors are dying. Sister Pasley was my mentor. She's dead. Sister Haney has that power in my life. She can speak into my life. Called her one day. Told her the situation that was going on. People in the church, whatever. And I remember she listened. Yes, she'd be very sweet. And I ended my pouring out by saying, "And Sister Haney, I just feel like I'm just failing. I just feel like I'm failing." And she hadn't said anything. I'd been going on for about 10 minutes. But then she gave me a powerful answer. Did you hear? That sweet little soft Joy Haney disappeared. She gave me a 7-word answer. No, 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 Claudette. And she started preaching. By the end of the talk, I'm thinking straight. Somebody backslid. She said, "You go find you somebody else to witness to." Okay. So I've got my little tambourine. I'm in the park. And I walk by and there's this girl sitting there on the bench. There's a Bible. I didn't know her. She's got a Bible in her life. And it just thrilled me because this other girl just backslidden from apostolic heritage. Made me so mad. Spent a whole year trying to hang on to her soul, but she was trying to backslide. Finally let her. Brother Pugh told us. I don't know, Sister Wendell, but I think he's right. He's a holy man. He said, "Marvin, some people want to go to hell, and you just got to know it." This girl was bowed and determined at that point to backslide, so finally I let her. And anyway, I was depressed about that. I was sad. I broke my heart because I loved her. But anyway, so he said, she says, "You go find somebody else." I'm like, okay. So she's sitting there, and she has her Bible, and I'm like, I tapped her on the shoulder, and then I noticed her head. I'm going to her prayer. She was such a beautiful girl. She had a beautiful smile. I said, "Hi." I said, "I hate to interrupt your prayer and whatever, but it just blesses my heart that on a Monday morning, a beautiful young girl like you would be sitting on a bench with your Bible and smiling. It just makes me happy. God bless you." I didn't even ask her name. And she goes back. I go downstream up a ways. It's a brook, and I've got my whole bag. I get all these instruments I collect from all over the world. And my tambourine and my horn and my harmonica. And I'm just getting downstream. You get in the spirit on Monday. And in the middle of my dance, the Lord said, "Go back and talk to her again." Whoa, it's been up 15 minutes. She's probably gone. I said, "Excuse me. I'm being a pest, but I have a question for you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you've been speaking to me?" "No." "Do you have 5 minutes? I sat down and gave her a 5-minute Bible. Didn't even invite her to church. Found out her name was Shanika. Changed numbers. I said, "You read those, and we'll get together sometime. You can tell me what you think about it. We'll talk more." She was busy. She was an engineer for GM, traveled all over the world. And on Saturday, I realized, oh my goodness, Sunday, that's tomorrow, we're having a youth deal. Brother Enzi, our International Youth President, speaking. I got to call this girl. I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know much about you. I don't even know if you have a home church. I assume you do because you're reading your Bible on Monday, whatever. But if you're not having church when we're having church, come by, blah, 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 blah." She comes in, talks, talks, talks. some of the girls at the greeting center found out that she's a runner. And she said, yeah, I used to walk, but marathons now in Texas, and she's real fit. We go up front, and nothing about her, but I sit on the front row where I always do. She sits by me, and she sits there. I look at her. I call some intercessors over, and in a few minutes, oh, she is full of the glory of God. And the Lord said, whisper in her ear. And I said, Shamika, you walked for years with God, just like you used to walk marathons. But I'm telling you, God just gave you the power now. You can run with him, honey. But if Joy Haney hadn't got my thinking back, I'd have probably still been sitting there Monday afternoon going, oh, my God, I'm a failure as a witness and whatever. You got to have somebody in your life that can say, no, you're thinking wrong. You got to think this away. Hallelujah. Number three, third step, say with words of praise. First had to do with your attitude and attitude of acceptance. Number two, how you think the word of God. Number three, what you say words of praise. Praise is the voice of faith. Negativism is the voice of unbelief. David said, Psalm 77:3, I complained with his mouth. He complained. He said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Your feelings follow your faith. Whatever you say with your mouth, eventually your feelings will line up with whatever your mouth is saying. Your steering wheel of your life is your will. And if you're saying, yeah, 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 you're heading towards spiritual defeat. Your feelings are in the back seat going, But you can do a 180, turn it around, and start saying words of praise, start singing songs of victory, start saying what is right, and your feelings in the back seat will start going, we feel better, we feel better. But you can't let your feelings drive your life. You got to let your will drive your life. You got to let the word drive your life. And get this one. Exodus 16:8, Moses said to the children of Israel, your murmurings is a bunch of griping. That's backslidden Israelite. He said, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. You murmur and complain against leadership, God takes it very personal. He said, you're griping about the pastor. You're griping about me. So, the word to the wise is sufficient. So, what I did to try to start learning how to say words of praise, I got me a praise book. Don't have time to do all this. I think I might have shared with you a few years ago when I taught on living stress or living risk. But anyway, I got me a praise book. I've got 10 categories in here. I've been doing this 22 years. I write down at least, Sister Hogue, every day, except days I'm too sick or whatever, not the majority of days anyway, at least 2 to 3 things in my praise book. I've been doing it for 22 years. I now have close to 10,000 things written down that I am thankful for. And the devil comes in Claudia's bedroom now. He knows that if I can't get out of the bed, there are a lot of days I can't. My husband can bring the book to me. And I'll just announce to the devil when he shows up. He still shows up. Oh, it's you? Well, if you're interested, I'm about to have a testimony service. And I'll just lay in my bed or stand and look in the mirror. Answered prayers, spiritual progress, creation, rhemas from God, today's blessings. I would like to testify this morning, I always date it, that on January the 8th of this year, 2016, this is what I wrote on that morning, my 23-year-old washer and dryer are still working. Hallelujah! Now, it's not always big stuff, but I just happened to notice that day that those stupid things have been working for 23 years. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. The little stuff, the big stuff, the in-between stuff. But if you don't write it down, you'll forget it. So I record it. Now I've got close to 10,000 praise victories to leave to my beautiful Quincy grandbaby if I go to heaven. My dad, pioneer Pentecost, powerful man of God. Just turned 96. He and Mom are praying right now. She said, now, honey, we just don't want to know that you're going to California, Oregon. That's not good enough for us. We want to know exactly when you're speaking, because Dad and I will prevail the whole time you're speaking. She's 96. She's 93. Talk about a heritage. My daddy thinks it's a sin to worry. He's not melancholy. He said, is saying to God, you're not doing a good job with my life. You said you'd take care of me, but I'm not sure you will. How insulting. He really believes it's a sin. Faith is not based on how you feel. Faith is based on what God guarantees in His Word. I heard Tom Barnes say on a cassette tape years ago, he said, I let Jesus, in his old country, slow way, I let Jesus one day make a doubter out of me. So I just stood up and looked at the devil and said, I seriously doubt your ability to get your job done in my life. He described as if our life is like a boat, that we need to stand up like Paul did. Side of that boat that was rocking and say, I believe God that it's going to be exactly the way the angel of God said to me and that we're all going to be okay. But sometimes we allow the enemy to get out his drill bits, and when you say, I don't see how, I can't, I'm afraid, I'm worried, what if, it's as if with your own tongue it's a drill bit and you're putting holes in the boat of your life and the water starts coming in and you start sinking. Be careful what you say. There's power in the tongue. There is life in the tongue. And there's death in the tongue. I've got to speak praise. I've got to say the right things. The Reeves told me that you can get down and tell God all your stuff for an hour, which He wants us to pour out our hearts during. But he said if you do that for an hour and you never release a word of faith, you're putting ropes on the hands of Almighty God, and He simply can't help you. He'll look at the angels and say, I really wanted to help Claudia this morning, but I heard nothing I could work with. The currency of heaven is faith. David, we know, is a man of faith. Oh, you read the Psalms, he whined. You know, half the time he was going, oh. But he'd get somewhere in the Psalm to, yet I will praise the Lord. But I will trust in the Most High. And as soon as you veer that way, you're releasing faith. And that takes the ropes off of Almighty God's hands. And He can come and work in your situation. But you got to speak the faith. Number four, got to do deeds of love. Back in, I've told you this before, and I'm sure you do it. I know Kim's a great journalist, but when you do your daily interaction with the Word, I'm thinking the Word. Don't just read the Word, write the Word. Don't just read it, write it. I read until my personal stance, and not to teach you, I have never studied the Bible with my intent just going, oh, I've got to look for a sermon, I've got to preach something. Never. My whole passion in studying the Word of God is because, number one, I'm going to know Him. Number two, I'm going to be changing into His image. So in that quest, I'll read until some verse speaks to me. You know how it's all good. And whoa! And when the verse starts going, I have a habit of writing it. I would have been a scribe. Put it, scribe it. We were in Israel with Haney's a couple years ago, and we took us where the scribes were, back in them caves. I said, man, I wish I could have been there. Sister, oh, God, I would have loved that. I love to copy scripture. I would have to just be with the quill. But I don't know if they had the scribe that to the scribes. But anyway, so I'm now Claudette, the scribe that here in this generation. And I'll just write that verse out, and then I'll pray over that verse, and then I'll speak that verse. And if it's real good, and I'll memorize that verse. Don't wait on Pastor Haney to preach your way out of your problem. Diagnose your own problem. Find your own need in the Word of God. He's going to be led of God. But you're supposed to dig. You're supposed to find your own word. You're supposed to find your own answers. And you've got to keep the Word. It's the devil's job to steal it, and he's good at what he does. So it's your job to keep it. And the best way I found is to write it down. That was free. Didn't cost anything. Number four, deeds of love. Fourth step the Lord told me to take out of the pit of self-pity was what I do with my actions. I get up and I do deeds of love. I bake somebody a cake. I write somebody a card. I text somebody. I call somebody. I pray for someone on the phone. I go see somebody. I listen to someone's problems. It drives away self-pity. You can't feel sorry for yourself when you are blessing others. The lie sometimes when you're at a low place in your life and some things aren't over in a week or two. And you're going through a season of battling. I've heard women say that, Sister Walker, I don't feel powerful. I don't feel. You're so weak. You think about it. Here comes a Mack truck. I don't know,
don't know anything about Mack trucks, but anyway, tons, I would assume, of goods in the back of the Mack truck. Big one, big center. He's driving here. Here's a policeman who's 5'1", weighs 120 pounds, soaking wet. He's got a badge. And for some reason, that Mack truck is not going to be allowed to go through the intersection. And this wee little skinny cop steps over, closes his whistle, puts up his hand, and the Mack truck. Because that little cop is so powerful? You kidding me? You could run over him like a bug. Everything to do with the guy. The badge. The name he had. He said, Stockton, wherever you call your police, Detroit police, with the authority that he represents. Satan and every imp in hell could come against the youngest, smallest, newest Christian who understood and knew the authority they had, and they could stand up and go, I don't think so, in the name of Jesus, and hell has to come to a screeching halt. You don't have to feel powerful. Frankly, honey, hate to blow your balloon. You ain't. I ain't either. Use my bad Mississippi lingo. But I'm not just Claudette anymore. I have a new nature. I'm full of holding. And there's somebody who lives inside of me who is big and bad. I have a friend who says he is large and in charge. I was in a bookstore one day, having a little cup of tea. I looked over on the table beside me, and there was a book about baby names. I was in my 50s. I didn't know what my name meant. I'm like, well, that's crazy. I'll check it out. So I looked up Claudette, and it said, go to Claude. Go to Claude. What my name means? Mama didn't read the baby book either. Lame. L-A-M-E. My mama named me Lame. I'm kind of sad about that. I'm like, that's horrible. In the Bible, names meant stuff. And the Holy Ghost prompted me, so why don't you try your middle name? Okay. I'm Claudette K. Okay. Things are looking up. In the Latin, in the Teutonic, and the Greek, K means rejoice, be merry, a fortified place. I'm a poet, and I'm not a poet, and I do know it, but I wrote this little ditty. My name is Claudette K. Even though I am lame. In body, and so, yet, I will rejoice and be merry in a fortified place in the palace of His grace. Hallelujah. Not a poet, nor am I a singer, and my voice is gone, but this is the last thing I'm going to do for you. May bless somebody's melancholy. I can sing one of two songs every day. I magnify, wish I had a magnifying glass. I magnify my needs. I just don't see how they can be met. I magnify my problems. How in the world will this mess ever get fixed? I'm so sad. I just want to run away and like an ostrich hide my head inside a deep hole. My heart is sad. And I'm so depressed today. Make it country. Because all my problems look as big as giant mountains. I can sing that, and I have sung that.
prefer the real version as you're standing. You know it, sing it with me. I magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Clap, clap, clap. I magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Now I magnify you, Lord, hallelujah, for you are worthy to be praised. Oh, I magnify you, Lord, hallelujah, for you are worthy to be praised. Oh, Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. He came to give us victory over the spirit of depression. He came to give us victory over bad thinking. He came to give us victory over bad choices. Hallelujah. 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 It's supposed to be done 12:30. It's 12:28. In German. In Germany, the trains leave on time. Not in Italy, but in Germany they do. I'm a clock watcher. Now we've got a minute and a half. What I want you to do right now before Sister Hope comes and tells us whatever to do next, I think it's lunch, I'm ready, is this. Think about the thing, not necessarily that you're depressed about. I know this doesn't apply to a lot of you, but the thing that is concerning you the most, that whatever is weighing on your mind, whatever is pressing upon you, whatever is a deep, deep concern in your life, okay? Whatever it is, that friend child. Close your eyes. Imagine that child with his hands raised, worshiping. A whole stack of bills you can't pay. Imagine the miracle coming in the mail. Whatever it is, imagine, think right now, as if the answer has already come. And before we go to lunch, I want you to give him loud and hilarious praise. Speak that which is not, as if it is already done. That's how you overcome the spirit of depression. You praise ahead of time. Praise ahead of time. Praise him if it's already done. Worship now. See the church full. Ha! Ho! 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 Woo! I will rejoice. I will rejoice on the right side of the trial. I rejoice before it happens. Sita harobaria kata, ruria hata, bon shalabaria hai saitai, rorororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororor
Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout! 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 Raise your voice as loud as you can. Woo! Woo! Yes. Holy Ghost just told me to do one more thing. Sister Kim Haney turned to me. I don't remember. God has blessed me to come here a lot of times, but it was sometime we're in your beautiful new facility. I know it was Landmark, I guess, because it was full. How many seats? 6,000. I don't know. It's huge. 6,000. Okay. Huge. It's packed at Landmark. And her faith filled prophetess eyes. She looked at me, Mr. Walker. God told me to look around. Someday, this is how our church is going to look every Sunday, every service. Does anybody want to agree with your pastor's wife that that's truth? That I want you to shout unto God as if it's already happened. The wind is blowing. Sister Wendell, it's blowing in Stockton. It's blowing in Stockton. God is going to deliver. God is sending deliverance to this city. How? Thank God for every backslider that's coming home. Thank God for every sinner that's being delivered. For your neighbor that's going to get the Holy Ghost. I know it's time for lunch, but if you feel like dancing, dance. If you feel like running, run. It's time to rejoice. The wind is blowing in this city.
Lighting up the kingdom in the name of Jesus. You that cannot be beaten, and we will shout it out.